Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/HamNation and enter promo code HamNation. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. And now Harry's is offering a free trial set. Just pay shipping. Go to Harry's.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 270 for October 19th, 2016. Pacificon Recap.
Good evening, everybody. It's K9EID. My name is Bob, and I'm in the Ozarks, and we just returned from the great West Coast where we were at Pacificon, and boy, do we have a good time. We'll show you some slides of that, but there's a whole bunch of folks here tonight, and we're going to have some fun. Let's see who all checked in tonight. Gordo, you doing okay in Costa Mesa?
We are. We had a great ride back down with Jody and Tracy from Pacificon. Don't forget, October 22, Tupelo. Don, did I say that right? Tupelo, Mississippi, Papa
yes.
Jack Trade Day this Saturday. And October 30th, Limark, weekend after next, Hamfest. And then, of course, November 5 and 6th, the Stone Mountain, Georgia Hamfest with our own Eric Nichols, KL7AJ, representing the books and things. Bob, back to you.
All right. Well, those are always great fests. I wish I could go to all of these. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'll bet you George will be at a couple of those. George, you're going to make Tupelo, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob, and no, I probably won't make Tupelo this year. It's not too terribly far from here. You know, Gordo, that is Elvis Presley's birthplace, and I would have thought you doing the impersonations and all, you would know that as part of the backstory. But
I'll try and do better, yeah. Good night, folks. Good night.
Yeah. I've got a few pictures Randy sent me we'll take a look at later, and Bob, K6UDA sent us in a little video that we're going to play during Smoke and Solder tonight.
Yeah, I think there's a little solder and smoke cooking there. That'll be great. Yeah, we met Bob at Pacificon, a great guy, and he's got a lot of things he has put together for us, so that's great. And now we got to go look at, no question about it, the coolest shirt of the night from Don. How are you doing?
I don't know about that. I mean, it's pretty hard to compete with that shirt that George has on. A pretty sharp looking guy. Yeah, Tupelo, Mississippi. I probably won't make that one either. But that's a great little town. That's right. Birthplace of Elvis is at the northern end of the Natchez Trace. And if you're going to Tupelo, be sure that you get out and enjoy part of the Natchez Trace. It's a great road, great motorcycle road too. I've taken the Natchez Trace all the way up to Tupelo on a motorcycle before, but we're not here to talk motorcycles. We're here to talk ham radio. And before we get into it real deep, we'll have Dr. T with our solar update. And tonight is Dr. Tamitha Scove's birthday. So happy birthday, Dr. T. Bob, back to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy, happy birthday. That's super duper. Well, before we get on down into the show, I got a couple of slides I want to run through very quickly from Pacificon. And Brian will bring those up and run them a couple of. There you are. There's Gordo and he's tux. And he had on long pants, just so everybody knows. There's proof right there. Well, you know, there. Look at those three characters. Randy was out doing things. It was really good to see him there. And when we get to these festivals, we get to sit down and chat. Now, there's a family. They all have their ham license. And I think the next slide even was mom and dad. Just an amazing family. And we see them at several of the West Coast shows, and congratulations to them. That's a good friend of mine. That's Bill Hudson, and he works in broadcast. His call is W6CBS, and he works at AT&T Park, and guess what kind of microphones they use there? PR40s. Thank you very much, Bill. And the next slide, I was thrilled to death. How many of the Ham Nation Twit viewers remember Jerry Ellsworth? She's one of the most brilliant, can you call her an engineer? I don't know. She is an amazing lady. She walked into Pacificon to take a ham radio test and pass the extra. So she's going to start joining us here, and gosh knows what she's going to come up with. She just does all kinds of electronic gadgets and things, and very smart. She's going to put us all away, let me tell you that. But she's so much fun, and her and Amy were there. I was so thrilled to see her. I haven't seen her for years. I met her back at the cottage. That's how long ago it's been, when the cottage was going before the brick house. So Jerry Ellsworth, if you don't know her, look her up in Wikipedia. Jerry, J-E-R-I, Ellsworth, E-L-L-S-worth. Oh, boy. She's a pinball machine nut, too. And she's just so much fun. I can't wait to get her on the show. I've tried several times, and she was always so busy, but now she's a ham, and she wants to come and be one of us. I couldn't believe it. So there you go. And Gordo, I was telling you earlier, we are simulcasting on WTWW, so tune her in to 5085, and it'll be there. And they started last Saturday night, and every Saturday now at around 8 o'clock Central, Ted and his family are playing the theater organ concerts that I'm doing for them. So if you like theater organ music, WTWW at 8 o'clock. And then their other, the frequency is 99.10 on Saturday at 1 p.m. So lots of music on there, too. And then in between times, they're playing all kinds of good classic rock. But that's what's going on here. And it's been raining all day. We're so happy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And we'll go see what Gordo's got. Gordo, you got some good pictures from Pacificon, too, don't you?
We do. And, Brian, if you want to go ahead and roll the shots of Pacificon on what it takes to make a ham radio convention great. And, yes, while we had rain at Pacificon, there was a habitual rainbow over or ending on Pacificon, and that brought good news. Even though the weather was cloudy, the hams came, and those Bay Area hams and those that traveled all over made a great dissension on the Pacificon in San Ramon, put on together by the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club. What we enjoyed was there and was successful was their Pacificon brochure that talked about the Ham Fest, the program, and excellent that they showed off where everybody would be placed when it came to exhibitors. And exhibitors, it was standing room only. And then, I like this, they actually had every hour what was going on, plus additional pages on details on the many seminars that were concurrently going on. I mean, they really know how to organize things at Pacificon. And I also liked in the program the fact that they put the www addresses so that if you wanted more information, you could look it up. So they had an excellent, excellent get-together. And on Friday, the Antenna Forum, and this is during a break, and those are the folks that stayed for the about six-hour-long Antenna Forum. It was terrific. You didn't miss a thing. Then on Friday night, they opened up, Friday late afternoon, evening, they opened up the exhibit hall. And because it was beginning to rain, I thought I would wear my shorts and red shirt just to drive away the rain. And it worked out fairly well for Friday night. Saturday morning, bright and early, the American Radio Relay League, plus the CEO of the ARRL, all of them were circulating around, shaking hands, and it was great for the ARRL to really reach out. Bob Inderbetson was just the best, staying in the booth and making things happen. And they had a great ARRL forum later on. So all the top brass were there. And kids, yes, there were kids galore. We really enjoyed meeting them because we just wanted to say the best part of ham radio is not just getting the license, but getting on the air. And that was our theme. Get the paperwork, and then most important, even before you think about upgrading, get on the air. And that they did. So that bright and early that next morning, we had the Instructor Academy as well as the Gordo Breakfast Talk, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I had to take off the shorts and wear the regular pants because Saturday was a day with virtually no rain until the late evening. And Bob and I had a real nice setup there at the booth. It was kids, and kids were soldering, and let me tell you, those kids were putting together fun oscillators and all sorts of neat things, so the solder station was a real collection of kids getting their get-up ready to get on the air. Outside was a demonstration of what will be our Quartz Fest, one of our radio setups, and that is Neil, W6FOG. And organizers were nice enough to let him have a spot in the back. And believe me, people found it because when they looked in on his trailer, they found it was regularly radio room prone to getting on the air big time. So, Neil, great job on the radio room in the radio trailer. You'll see him out at Quartz Fest. Also, at the other end of the venue, they had a test ejection seat set up. And I thought it'd be sort of fun if when an occupant would get in there, they'd have a little spring. So they would go, oh, geez, but not really launch them. But it was a big attraction. And that was the neat thing about PacificCon is they had something for everyone. The Marriott Hotel absolutely was a great venue. I bet it was really expensive. But what a venue. And as you can see, even our Instructor Academy classes were brim full. That's Misa KJ6BUE. Misa just and her crew just made things happen, and their crew was everywhere with the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club. There were no major hangups. In fact, not even minor hangups that I heard about, including even a little bit of rain. But it didn't rain inside. And that's Mike N6JGA, president of the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club. And what was so nice, this was the Saturday night banquet. These folks organized so that those that were the top brass all had their own little corsages. I mean, what a nice touch for those putting on the Hamfest. And again, Misa, KJ6BUE, what a great job. The entire Simmons family really made things happen. Well, bright and early Sunday morning, of course, it was rain, so I had to put on my shorts again and walk the walk. This is when it was beginning to get light. But as a good swapper, you know to get out there about 4 in the morning when it's dark. Be sure and bring along your 100-candle-power spotlight and start looking at the stuff. But if you look in the background, those in the chat room, yep, that's a real flood coming down. But there was a point where the rain did let up just a little bit, and yeah, it was a great time, and it was a great, fun little Sunday swap meet, and lots of neat stuff that was out there, and the hammer slags, boy, if ever you needed wire or coax or goodies, they're at all the major swap meets, and they were really loaded for business. That's Tracy and Jody, who provided my great transportation up and back. No, not in that particular chair, but they, too, had a great spot. Thanks to those in the swap meet area. And, of course, that was our dress in the morning, and that was headgear that was translucent so you could see what your light was looking at. And while you can't see the raindrops, believe me, they were coming down on Sunday. But let me tell you, everybody came back, and the Sunday crowd inside was huge. And finally, nothing beats a well-run get together at the very end to give out prizes, door prizes. They had it down to a science so that it took no more than 7 seconds per ticky. And you had to be there except for the main prizes. And it went so fast and so smooth. It was not the usual, oh, let's get this thing over with. So I'm very happy to say that Pacificon 16 in San Ramon was a huge, huge success. And we congratulate all of them for a great ham fest. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We'll see everybody next week because we've got an air show coming up, and we're going to look and make notes of all the things that went well when preparing your radios and set up for the air show, getting ready to find everybody's position with our ICOM handhelds. And we'll give you the full report on when hams deploy at a giant air show locally, what goes right, and we'll take some photos of what we didn't anticipate that we might do better next time, because that is what ham radio is all about. So, Don, let's go over to you and see what's happening down there in Don's territory and his great shirt. Don?
Thank you, sir. Boy, there is not much more fun than an air show. In fact, I just did a commercial yesterday, day before, for a World War II expo that the World War II Museum is putting on. It's going to be a lot of World War II airplanes. Fifi, the B-29, was there last year here in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
So I did a commercial for that, so I'm looking forward to going to that again. But I digress. We're not here to talk about airplanes, per se. We're here to talk about all kinds of stuff, and one of those things we're going to talk about is Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of what it costs in the stores. Casper is revolutionizing, literally, the mattress industry, and they're doing it by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. So the savings is passed directly on to you, the consumer. A lot of benefits by going with Casper. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, and you get it at a fair price. Look at Leo go. He's unwrapping the Casper mattress right there, and you're going to see him do the giant Leo belly flop of approval here just momentarily. So stand by for that. Casper combines two technologies. Here we go. Springy latex foam. You see that in play right there. And supportive memory foam creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and the right bounce. In fact, the Hiles are a Casper family. And I understand they love it. Casper Mattress is a 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award winner. The Casper Mattress gives you long-lasting comfort and support. It's a breathable design. It sleeps cool, helps you regulate your temperature through the night. That's probably where Leo is right now. So, but anyway, you're going to love Casper as much as Leo does. And I know the Hiles love theirs too. And it's easily purchased online, and you do it completely risk-free. By sleeping on a Casper mattress, Casper understands the importance of truly trying out the mattress that you are in reality going to spend a third of your life on. And you can't do that with 20 seconds in the mattress store. That's why Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. So no 20 seconds on the bed in the showroom. That tells you nothing. Seriously, statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom for 20 or 30 seconds has no correlation of whether it's the right bed for you. You got to put a night or 90 in there. The Casper mattress is designed to meet the Goldilocks standard of just right. Not too hard, not too soft. And they uphold the highest environmental production standards. They're made in the USA. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and our friends in the Great White North of Canada. Get your Casper mattress today. $500 for a twin, $950 for king size. Compare that to industry averages, and you'll find that's an outstanding price. And you can save an additional $50 towards your mattress purchase because you're a Ham Nation viewer. Go to Casper.com/HamNation. Enter the promo code HamNation, all one word, HamNation. Casper.com/HamNation with promo code HamNation. Terms and conditions apply. You too will be a Casper person. You're going to love it. Why don't we check out the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2033, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. Occasionally, it works out best if one avoids the shortcut.
Sometimes the best route to take to get from Cincinnati to the International Space Station goes through Italy. On a map, this might not make geographic sense, but to everyone who was involved, it made radio sense. The telebridge in Italy with IK1SLD was just what was needed for a group of science technology students in Cincinnati in the iSpace program who spoke with astronaut Kate Rubens, KG5FYJ, on Saturday, October 8th. The 10-minute contact was facilitated by members of the Westchester Amateur Radio Association at the National VOA Museum of Broadcasting. That would be Jocelyn Brault, KD8VRX, son Christopher Brault, KD8YVJ, and Joe Gruber, WD8AZQ, Museum Board member, who provided their technical expertise to make it happen. According to the VOA Museum of Broadcasting, the contact marks the first connection Cincinnati area students have had with the ISS in more than a decade. It was also the 50th telebridge contact for IK1SLD. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Most people celebrate birthdays with cake and candles. When a nation celebrates a big birthday, candles just won't do.
When it turns 150 years old next year, Canada will become even more of an OM. That is, if a nation itself can be considered an OM. Amateurs, however, celebrate just this kind of special longevity, and in that spirit, there'll be an amateur radio activation of the East Point Lighthouse on Prince Edward Island, which was recently named Canada's Confederation Lighthouse. The lighthouse's site manager, Nova McIsaac, told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that the lighthouse is the only one in the country that was built the same year as Confederation, which would be 1867, that's still functioning as a lighthouse. That designation makes it eligible for funding to upgrade its exterior and make other improvements. Meanwhile, Prince Edward Island amateur George Dewar, VY2GF, is now hard at work planning an activation befitting this milestone birthday. Since that's next year, the event's going to come up fast, like a flash of light, even. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
And now, another chapter in the continuing story of a ham and his bicycle.
Danish cyclist Thomas Andersen, OZ1AA stroke K9DXX, thinks the world of his most recent adventure as a radio amateur, since his adventure embraced the world itself, or at least 36,000 miles of it, over 58 countries. He's back home now, but not before completing a bicycling adventure, which began 6 years ago, much of it with an HT in his hand. Thomas wrote on his online diary, cyclingtheglobe.com, quote, "I have cycled through Eastern Europe, learning all about the local beer. I have been chased by dogs in Turkey. I have pedalled through Syria before the war. I have been a celebrity in Malaysia and worked on a huge cattle station in Australia." End quote. He celebrated his arrival back home in Copenhagen by operating special event station OZ1BIKE, a way of saying hello again to his hometown after a long, mostly interrupted absence as he cycled through the United States, Canada, South America, parts of Africa and Europe. Now it's time for the 33-year-old engineer to hop off his cycle for a bit and simply gear down. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Stephen Kinford, NAWB, John Williams, VK4JJW, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We're just beginning to recover from a huge solar storm that brought aurora around most of the world. When hot on its heels, it comes some fast wind from a huge coronal hole that could bring us more storming. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun's activity has really picked up this week, starting with a massive solar storm that pretty much evacuated the whole eastern side of the disk, but you couldn't see it from Earth. Thank God for Stereo, our backside monitor. It caught it from the side. This solar storm has now hit Earth and has wreaked havoc. We've had aurora pretty much all over the world for the last 12 hours or so. And we're now going to be dealing with some fast wind from this massive coronal hole right here. It's beginning to move into the Earth strike zone, so hot on its heels, we're going to have yet a chance for more storming. So if you ever wonder why we have a backside monitor, here is why. This is the coronagraph from Stereo A. It allows us to see these big solar storms being launched and launched out towards Earth. And you can see this monster being launched right here. It takes up almost the entire side of the disk all the way out like that. We couldn't see this thing from the Earth vantage point, but here it shows it, and it's on its way to Earth. And thank goodness for Stereo, otherwise we would have never seen this latest solar storm coming. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see we remain well below the seafloor. We're popping a few C-class flares here and there, but not really. This is keeping it at about a marginal level for you amateur radio operators for solar flux, and this trend is going to continue because as we get closer to solar minimum, things get quieter and quieter. So we're kind of in the marginal area right now, and we plan to stay that way for the remainder of the week. Switching to your solar storm conditions, after that long-duration storming period we had back at the beginning of the month, things began to quiet down and quiet down. Then we had that huge solar storm that launched just a few days ago, and when it hit Earth, bam, look at that. It turned on like a light switch. This got us up to a G2 level storm, and it looks really impressive here. But believe it or not, the storm moved so slowly, it didn't produce really intense aurora. And then once the storm got past a certain point, it began to wane, and the field flipped north, and boom, it just shut off like a light switch once again. So things are now back to being quiet, and we are just waiting in the moment for that fast wind to arrive. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And you can see that bright region that's beginning to rotate to the east limb on the backside there. That is kind of popping off a few things here and there. That region is going to be rotating into Earth view here just in the next couple days or so, and we're seeing some activity. So we might see some Earthside activity pick up, in the next few days or so. And then also you see that huge coronal hole. That black hole is what gave us that in long duration storming at the beginning of the month. And that thing now is in the middle of the backside, and it's still very well formed. That means that thing's going to be returning to the Earth disk and be in the Earth strike zone in about 2 weeks. So we may still get some more intense storming in about 2 weeks. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are still anticipating the hit from that high-speed stream. NOAA is anticipating a minor storm conditions at high latitudes starting around the 16th and about a 30% chance of a major storm at high latitudes. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting about active conditions with maybe a 15% chance, 10% chance of a minor storm, and then things should be able to calm down after that and remain calm all the way in through the beginning of next week. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, pretty much everything remains in the green. We do have some active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, but they just aren't flare producers. The big issue that we have right now is the solar flux. It's marginal levels right now, so you amateur radio operators are probably having a little bit of issues with propagation, but it's still staying most of the time in the green, and it should remain like that throughout the week. So this week has already been pretty exciting. We've just beginning to recover from a huge solar storm, and as things quiet down, we now anticipate some fast wind that should hit us here in the next day or so, and that should give us more storming and possibly some more aurora. So you aurora photographers, don't take too much of a breather yet. You're not free yet. And you amateur radio operators, kind of hang in there for the next day or two while we get through this solar storm, and then things should begin to quiet back down again until those new regions rotate more into Earth view, and we'll see if they have any solar storming that they're going to send us. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. And there she is, the birthday girl. Go on Twitter at Tamitha Scove and wish her a happy birthday, because today is Dr. T's birthday. And we do appreciate her being here. All right, so we talked about the Casper mattress. After you have your perfect sleep on the Casper mattress, when you get up in the morning, here's the best way to start your day right here with the perfect shave from Harry's. I got to tell you, I love Harry's. I really do. I'm not much of a blade shaver, but Harry's has made me a convert. I do the Harry's shave. If I've got to be someplace kind of special, it's something, I've told you this before, it's a treat that I do for myself on Sundays or nice occasions or something. I'll put on some nice music and I'll get the hot towel and I'll just do the whole thing. And my wife is a Harry's lady. She loves the Harry's shaver. My son, he told me, as a matter of fact, the other day, he says, Dad, I'm getting points off at Navy Junior ROTC because my electric is not doing too good. Can I get a Harry's? Yes, I'll get you a Harry's. So I think the orange one here is going to be Tyler's personal Harry's blade. And Harry's is great. Harry's saves you money. You know how the big razor companies keep putting out new models and raising their already high prices? Well, unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging. They just made a bunch of improvements to their razors, and they're keeping them exactly the same. One of the improvements is this handle. Previously, it was hard plastic and kind of slick. Now it's got a rubberized finish, and it's texturized, and it feels really, really good in the hand. Now, they still have their nice metal handles as well. They're a little bit extra, but this is the basic entry-level model, and it's really nice. It feels great in your hand. You're not going to slip. You're not going to drop it, and it's still just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more that you're going to pay at the drugstore. By owning the factory in Germany where the blades are made, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them to you directly for half the price. And the five-blade razors now include a softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide. Look at this. This is great. Look, watch this thing. It's just, look at that. Softer hinge, more comfortable glide, the trimmer blade, hard to reach places, lubricating strip, textured handle for more control when it's wet. How can you go wrong? Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they will send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor just exactly like this one in my hand, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. And it's free when you sign up for a shave plan. Just pay for shipping. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show, fans of Ham Nation. Get a bottle of Harry's post-shave balm added to your order for free. This is nice. It's 3.4 ounces of the post-shave balm. It's going to make your face feel good. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. You get that added to your order for free when you visit harrys.com/hamnation. harrys.com/hamnation. Go now, claim your free trial set. You too can be a Harry's man. Have you seen, I don't know if Bob K6UDA, the Elmer with attitude, is a Harry's man, but have you seen that bald head of his? With all that attitude he's got, I bet you he's a Harry's man. And if he's not, well, then you ought to be. UDA, go get yourself one of these. You're going to love it. Free trial set, post-shave balm, harrys.com/hamnation. Harry's, thank you for being a proud member of the Ham Nation family. We do appreciate you. Somebody else that we appreciate, and he's a Harry's man, that's George Thomas, W5JDX.
Hi, Don. Well, you know, I just shaved a couple of hours ago, but listening to you there, I'm really wanting to go do it again for some strange reason. I'm not.
Well,
not
you know, when you're sure. ate up with the manliness like you and me and Bob Heil, not necessarily UDA, but we're working on him. You know, when you're right up with the manliness, you got to shave 400 or 500 times a day. It's just how it goes.
Yep. I think you're right. Well, I know who we could send one to. Well, maybe not. Our friend Randy, you know. he was at PacifiCon.
We wouldn't recognize Randy with a hairy shave.
We wouldn't. We really wouldn't. He sent me a few pictures. You know, I didn't get to go to PacifiCon this year. And, you know, we hung out there a couple of years ago. Let's look at that first photo there. You know, he went to Fry's, and which is always one of the things I like to do when I go out west. And he sent me this photo of Sauter. And then to top that off, next photo here, he sent me a picture of some soldering irons. And, you know, at this point, it just kind of like brought a tear to my eye. But then he sent me another photo, and this time it was one of my favorite eating establishments out west, In-N-Out Burger. And he even sent me a picture of a double-double and some fries. And, you know, I'm just kind of wanting to make a trip out that direction now. Boy, you can tell he had a good time there. I didn't even get any photos from him of the Ham Fest. All I got was the trip to Fry's and the In-N-Out Burger there. But, hey, we've got a video that maybe we'll be showing soon of his visit to the Twitch studios there, and maybe you'll have a little bit from PacifiCon as well. Well, this week we've got a video here from Bob K6 UDA that I have not seen it yet. He is going to show us how to build a PL-259 insertion tool. And I'm not really even sure what that is. So let's find out together.
This is a little tool that a friend of mine shared with my local ham radio club a few years back. I thought it was ingenious. I made one, and it is beautiful. Unfortunately, I couldn't find mine today. Got lost at field day this year. So I just built this one, and I'm going to take you on my little journey of how to build a PL-259 installation tool. This is probably one of the coolest little tools you can get, or actually you're going to make this one, and it probably won't cost you more than 50 cents to make it. This is how I put a PL-259 on a piece of heavy coax. For this build, you're going to need a half-inch T connector, a PL-259 cover, and some two-part epoxy. Assemble your parts. Put your gloves on because you don't want to get burned by this epoxy. And then mix the epoxy up really, really good. Liberally coat the inside of the T and put the slide cover in upside down. Now, glue the top of it up, get it nice and goopy, and scrape off all the rest. Let it dry overnight. So now, instead of screwing around with the channel locks or a big pair of pliers and trying to fight this thing onto your piece of LMR, you can just screw the thing on very quickly, really easily, screw it off, and you're done. Hey, just as a note to you big brain guys, this is a demonstration, and I wasn't actually putting together a piece of coax. So don't worry about my frayed wires and no soldering, because this isn't a real cable.
Okay, we won't. But that is a good idea there, you know? Never thought about that, but that should make it a lot easier, because you can kind of, get some nasty burrs on that connector when you're holding it with a pair of pliers and twisting on it. So thanks for that, Bob. We'll be looking for some more things from you in the future there. Well, right now, let's get a message from ICOM and then come back, and I've got some things to give away and some winners to announce.
Attention all hams.
Time to hit the airwaves. Contest season is here. Grab your ICOM equipment and make as many contacts as you can this season. Good luck, and let the competition begin. The real fun starts here with the revolutionary IC7300. This innovative HF transceiver has a compact design and high performance. It's perfect for contesters on the go. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Push performance to the pinnacle with the IC7600. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 features intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, and high-resolution real-time spectrum scope. Contesters, raise the bar with the IC7851. Hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, real-time spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. Hit the airwaves this contest season and visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all of ICOM's great radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register for the weekly swag contest where they give away T-shirts and hats. And you can learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For October, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID5100A dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF transceiver. Does both analog and D-Star. touchscreen operation, built-in GPS receiver, DVN-FM repeater list function, optional Bluetooth unit, Bluetooth headset, Android app, and a lot more. So go to iComAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Well, you know, for the last, several weeks, I had an IC7300 sitting right here beside me. It's gone now. It got put on UPS today, and it's headed to the winner of the Amatrologic 11th Anniversary Contest, who is, well, it's probably not one of you watching here, I'm sorry, but it's Joseph Ryan Jr., N3NAI. He's a general from Cape Coral, Florida. As a matter of fact, I think he was the president of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club for a couple of years. So, Joseph, that's on the way to you. I'm sure you're going to really enjoy that rig. I'm missing it already over here. Well, you know, last week, Randy and I were on here talking about Arduino microcontrollers. And I showed you a little project I was working on. I didn't tell you what it was, though. I'll tell you what it is now. This is a six-push-button radio, and it's also got frequency up and down buttons on it. It's a little module here that I got from the folks that I'd mentioned, Nightfire Electronics, hooked to an Arduino. I just needed a push-button radio, and I built that up. It's on that episode of Amateur Logic that we just released. I'm going to be working on some more Arduino stuff, though, that we're going to look at here soon. So these are really fun things. But what Randy and I were talking about were the Arduinos. But, you know, there was another microcontroller before that that was super popular. And they're still around. As a matter of fact, this was my first introduction into microcontrollers. And I showed you a little experimenter board on it. There's the little module itself right there. This says parallax on it. Well, if you turn it the right direction. I ask, what is that? Can you identify it? Well, yeah, we did get someone to identify that. And it was John Davis, WA8YXM. And John said, my guess is that it's a basic stamp. It's been around a lot longer than an Arduino and, of course, longer than a Raspberry Pi. But, of course, Raspberry Pi is not really a microcontroller. He said that many days ago, one of them was used to monitor a refrigerator at hamjudo.com. Also, it controlled a robot and monitored a hot tub. Okay, congratulations, John. We're going to send you a nice prize here from our friends at DX Engineering, and it's a, it looks huge there when I hold it that close, doesn't it? It is pretty big. It's a DX Engineering sport bag. I like to take it to all my ham fest and field days. We'll be shipping that right out to you. You're going to enjoy that. By the way, you can get these at DX Engineering, so go check them out. I've got another question for next week. And this one comes from the amateur radio technician exam. And it is, which of these precautions should be taken when installing devices for lightning protection in a coaxial cable feed line? A, include a parallel bypass switch for each protector so that it can be switched out of the circuit when running high power. B, include a series switch in the ground line of each protector to prevent RF overload from inadvertently damaging the protector. C, keep the ground wire from each protector separate and connect to station ground. Or D, ground all the protectors to a common plate, which is then in turn connected to an external ground. If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And the reason we had the question on the lightning protectors is that's what you're going to win. It's an MFJ 270 Guardian Angel lightning protector. This particular model here has PL259s on it. They also make them with type-in connectors. This one is good from DC to 1 gigahertz. Handles 400 watts PEP, but they also have another model that'll handle 1,500 watts. And they've also, as I mentioned, got type-in connectors available. Those will go to 3 gigahertz. So, you know, it's one little extra thing that you can put in line there and possibly prevent lightning damage. If lightning's going to come in, and it wants to bad enough, it's going to come in. But some lesser strikes, something like this could really help you out. So thanks, MFJ, for that. And now, what are we doing next? Well, I think we probably need to check in with Val and see what's going on in the world of DX.
Hi, Valerie, NV9L. Nice shirt, George. I love it. Well, I have a lot to get through today, so I'm just going to zip it, and let's just start with this week's DX report.
It's time for this week's edition of the DX Files for October 19th, 2016. We've got Nepal. They're going on right now through October 27th. There's three different gentlemen that are on that one, so just look for the 9N7 Zulu India Whiskey Echo or X-Ray Whiskey. Benin also going on October 19th through November 30th, and that's TY5 Alpha Alpha. We've also got Micronesia coming up, and they'll be there from October 17th through November 1st. And that's a Blue Lagoon resort they'll be operating from on Truk Island in Micronesia. Also, Lesotho, they're going to be October 17th through the 27th. Not a lot of time, so look for the 7 Papa 8 then. Also, we've got Niger coming up. That's 5U7RK. They're now, looks like through either November, end of November, early December. And last but not least, Ghana, 9 Golf 5 Alpha Mike. They're going to be there October 19th through the 26th.
And if that's not enough DX to wet your whistle, in 9 days is one of the biggest contests of the year, and that's CQ Worldwide Sideband. Now, for those of you just starting off, or maybe you've only done like some state CUSA parties or field days, this is really a good opportunity to get on the air, and you can, with a very modest station, 100 watts and a modest station, work 100 countries in one weekend. So I kind of put together a little video to help get you started integrating your radio with N1MM, and a lot of little tips and tricks to get you going and make the contest a lot more fun. So go ahead and roll that.
Well, in 9 days is CQ Worldwide Sideband, the biggest contest of the year. Now, there's lots of rules to learn and how many points and things like that. You just need to know you want to get as many zones and as many countries as you can on as many bands as you can. And N1MM is going to help you do that, and I'm going to show you how to do that. First things first, you're going to want to download N1MM Logger Plus. Go online, Google it, download it, and here's how you set it up once it's downloaded. You're going to first need to create a new database. So I'm going to create one, and I'm going to call it NV9L Sample, just for you guys, and then hit Save. Now, once you do that, you're going to want to create a new log in that database. So go ahead and click on the File New Log, and you're going to get a drop-down, and that's going to show you what contest to choose from. So you're going to get a drop-down menu, and you're going to pick, say you're doing a state CUSO party. I'll show you how to do that real quick here. You just go down to Q for CUSO party, and then you pick the state that you're entering in that CUSO party. So you go down and pick that, and then you're all set. Now, one trick when you are working state CUSO parties, sometimes you're going to work people that are on county lines. They might be on a four-county line or a two-county line. Rather than enter them four times in a row with a different county each time, you can enter it once and put a county, then slash, then the next county, slash, the next county, slash, and so on. And then when you hit enter, it's going to enter it automatically as four separate CUSOs. So that'll save you a lot of time. Also, one trick to do when you're doing a state CUSO party is go to their website. Make sure you pull up their county list. They're going to have a nice list for you of all their counties and the proper abbreviation for those counties, so you know how to enter it properly where N1MM will take it. So now let's move on to CQ Worldwide Sideband. You're going to want to go in and open a new log, and you're going to want to pick the contest CQ Worldwide Sideband. Then pick your category, power, band, mode, all that stuff from the drop-downs, and you're all set. Next, we're going to go into the config tab at the top, and now we're going to click some stuff. I like to show my non-workable spots or dupes on my band map. That way, when I'm spinning the dial and I come across a station and they don't give their call sign for a while, I know it's somebody I already worked because it'll be there in gray. Same thing, I want to enable my call history lookup, and that's something you want to make sure you can download a current call history file. And if you don't remember or know how to do that, I did do an episode on how to do that, and I'm going to put that on my QRZ page, that video, if you want to see how to do that. I'm also going to put on there how to get set up for CQContest.net as well. Next, you're going to want to make sure your radio is talking with your computer. You want to hook up a CIV cable between your radio and your computer, and here's where you go in and configure it. You're going to pick your radio that you want and put the settings in properly. And when you put the radio in, it's going to give you the recommended settings, so it is going to help you out a lot with that. And then if you tab over to the live score server, this is where you set up with the CQContest.net score server if you want to do it in real time. And again, that's on my QRZ page. Now we're going to go to the Windows tab, and we're going to set up our Telnet. That's our cluster. That's going to give us all the spots if you're going to be competing in an assisted category, because you're going to get the assistance of a spotting network. So when you bring up the Telnet, you're going to want to tab on the clusters, and you're going to want to pick a cluster. I like VE7CC, but you can find a cluster that you like. And then you're going to want to tab to that cluster, and there hit the reconnect button. It's going to ask for you to put your call sign next to the login, and then hit enter. That's all you do. Now that you're hooked up to a spotting network, you're going to want to hit your Windows and click band map, and that's going to bring up a map on the left side there with all the different frequencies, and as stations get spotted, they're going to start showing up there, and you'll be able to click on those, and your radio will go right to those spots. Now you're going to want to go back to Windows and click on the check option. That's going to be your super check partial. As you start to enter call signs, if you only get part of it, it's going to help you fill in the rest with known active call signs that are out there. And we're going to go back to the Windows option and click on log, because you want to make sure your log is there in your view as well. Now, one cool thing, if you're using the call history log, when you enter a call sign, you're just going to want to hit the space bar. Don't hit enter. And then it's going to tab you all through the signal reports right to the CQ zone. It'll even populate that for you if it knows it. But it'll keep it highlighted in case you need to change it. Maybe they moved. And if it's everything looks good, you just hit the enter button. And what's really cool is with this call history, you're just going to enter the call sign, hit the space bar. If the CQ zone is right, hit enter. Go to the next guy, call sign, space bar, enter. Call sign, space bar, enter. It saves you a lot of keystrokes and really helps your speed in the contest. One cool thing N1MM does, as these stations start to populate from the cluster onto your band map, they're going to be different colors. Now, green represents a new zone. Go after the greens. Reds represent a new country, so make sure you go after those. Blue is an unworked station in a country you already have, so those are the lowest priority. Now, say you make a mistake when you're entering a contact and you've already hit the enter button. Well, you can just go to the area where you made the mistake. Say it was an error in the call sign. Just double-click the call sign there, and you can change it right there once it's already entered. Same thing with the CQ zone. You can double-click that and change that there. Or if you want, when you highlight it in your log and right-click, you have the option to delete the entire contact. So looking at my band map, you can see I'm sitting on 14.200, but I want to work that guy below me in red. So rather than go from my keyboard to the mouse to click it to go down to the red, which is going to take up a lot of time back and forth between the keyboard and the mouse, I'm just going to hit my control down arrow, and that's going to take me to the next workable station below the one I'm at. Or you can do control up if you want to work up the band. So when I go there, you notice it puts his call sign above the entry box in red. Well, if I just hit the space bar, it's going to automatically pop them into my entry box for me. And when I hit and then go all the way over to the CQ zone. So it saves you a lot of keystrokes by just hitting that space bar. Now we're going to go to Windows and hit the info box. We want to have that up as well. It's going to give you all kinds of information like your QSO rate, if anybody spotted you, how long since your last QSO. Here's where you can go in and set goals. If you want to try and do 100 an hour, things like that, you can right click in this box and set up some goals. You're also going to want to go back to Windows and set up the available malts, because in this contest, it's all about the multipliers. One cool thing about this box, as you see multipliers over there, you can actually click on those call signs in there and your radio will move to that band right to that frequency. So now I'm going to show you some shortcuts when using N1MM. If you need to wipe, say you've got a call sign in your entry field and you need to get rid of it, rather than backspace through it all you need to do is hit the Alt-W or F12. And as I said earlier, if you want to just jump to the next workable station, just hit the Control up or down arrow, and that's just going to keep moving you to each next station that you need. And remember, when you enter the call sign, hit the space bar when you're done, not the enter key. It's going to pre-fill all that stuff for you if you use the call history file. So here's Val's keys to the game for CQ Worldwide Sideband. You're going to want to mix it up. You're going to want to run, and you're going to want to search in PAUS, because there's going to be countries out there that will only run. So if you want to get them, you got to search in PAUS and go find them. There's also stations out there that may be rare and don't like dealing with pileups. So you're going to need to run so they come to you. So do both. When running, make sure you give your call sign after every QSO. It seems like it takes longer, but it actually gives you a higher rate of speed. You're not going to get people that are dupes because they don't know your call sign. Say someone spots you incorrectly with the wrong call, and so they think you're a new one. So always give your call sign after every QSO. It really does increase your speed. Take frequent small breaks rather than a couple of long breaks. It keeps you more refreshed over that 48 hours. Use your malt screen and always go after the malts. Malts are key. Try to do a warm-up contest if you can. There's a couple coming up every Wednesday night right after Ham Nation. It's only a half hour. There's the phone fray contest. So you can do that. It's a little half hour, and it just lets you know if everything's working okay. This weekend, we've got the UKEI, so Ireland and UK contest, and that'll let you know how good you're getting into Europe. So try one or both of those contests if you can before CQ Worldwide. And last but not least, please try and stay away from the nets and the SSTV and AM allocations. We're all in this hobby, and we all need to make sure we get along and share the space. So there's so many other things, little shortcuts I could tell you, like in the entry window, you can actually put in a frequency of another band. It'll automatically change your radio to the other band. In the band map up at the very top, you can actually click narrow and wide. So if you hone in on a signal, but there's somebody nearby, you can just click that from wide to narrow and automatically put your filters on, so you don't have to go from your computer to your radio. So lots of cool little tricks and tips available when you integrate your radio with your computer. So hopefully you guys will get on the air next weekend, not this weekend, and in CQ Worldwide. And I want to hear about all you guys getting DXCC in one weekend. And I know I had to go fast on that, so if you want to back up, rewind anything, also how to do cqcontest.net and the call history file, that's all on my QRZ page, qrz.com. Go to NV9L and I have them there. And that's all I've got for this week, which I kind of went long. Sorry, guys. But I'm going to send it over to Amanda. How you doing, Amanda?
Hello. I'm doing good. So real quick, last week I told you guys Jeff and I were going to pick up a radio. This weekend, I'd like to introduce you to radio.
Would you like to say hi?
Hi.
I'm just awake.
This is radio. Anyhow, that's our new radio. He's about 3 months old, and we weren't so ready for a new dog, but we couldn't help it when we had applied for an application and we saw a dog that was named Radio, and those ears were just too irresistible. So, all right, let's move on to the questions here. This is a question for the group. I'm going to send it to George first. WB3BJU Don would like to know. He says, I made a shortened 80-40-20 dipole using a pair of Hustler MO2 masks and pairs of RM80-40-20 resonators on all three mounted to end of each mast. It's mounted horizontally. Would it be more efficient mounting it vertically? Take it, George.
Good question. I would think probably horizontally. It depends on what you're trying to work, and I'm not sure when you're going with a shortened dipole like that if the effect is as much, but normally on the HF bands, a horizontally polarized antenna is going to be better for closer in work, and the vertical is going to be better for DX. But I really don't have experience running antenna setup like that, so I hesitate to say for sure.
All right, thanks for that, Don. Any input?
No, I'm kind of mirroring what George had to say. I've never used anything like that, but I would tend to agree that horizontal would probably be better. Although I don't know. I mean, you know, as the signal bounces off the ionosphere, it flips and the polarity changes and does all this weird stuff. So I'm not sure. But I think that if you set it up to where it looks like radio's ears, I think that would work just fine. That's a cute dog. Congratulations on the new fur baby.
Well, thank you so much. He's kind of, I have to admit, he's a little bit of the spawn of Satan right now because he's at that stage where he still has those shark teeth. So, but other than that, he's a great pet. We love him so much. It's been fun having him here. All right. All right. One more question for you, George. And this comes from KB3ZCZ. What is the best place or the place you buy the most of your microcontrollers and accessories?
Probably where I buy most of mine is MCM Electronics. They aren't the only place. You can get them at Adafruit. You can find a lot of knockoffs on the internet really cheap, but I generally buy the genuine Arduino brand. When I'm going to build them, you know, and just use the chips by themselves, trying to think of where I bought those last time. I don't think MCM had them. I probably ordered them from Adafruit, but lots of places you can get them.
All right. Good to know. And Don, what about you? Where do you buy your electronics?
I haven't bought any electronics in such a long time. I probably shouldn't say this. I work for a radio station, and so if I need something, I just go down and steal it from engineering. I probably shouldn't say that.
That's funny. Val, what about you and Jerry? Where do you guys buy your electronics from mostly?
DX Engineering, pretty much 100%.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. Well, I
at least one to two boxes a week show up from DX Engineering at our house.
Really? That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. And hello to Jerry. I hear him there in the background. Nice to hear you.
And Beasley wants to meet radio, by the way, just an FYI.
I think that would be awesome. Maybe Beasley could teach him a little bit of mannerism. Maybe a little bit. Just a little. 12 weeks, you guys. I forgot what it was like to have a 12-week-old dog. Yeah, it's like having a 1.5-year-old that learned how to walk and grab everything from the tables. And okay. I love him, though. He's really cute. You guys, I don't have any other questions. I'm going to talk just a little bit more about, another week, another fire in Colorado. So Aries is active again here. I haven't been as active because I've been busy at work, but been controlling what's going on and how we respond to the fire. And one other thing, I have been promoted to the regional emergency coordinator here in Colorado. So now I'm not only in charge of my own district, I'm in charge of basically the whole southeastern part of Colorado, which consists of about 11 counties. So quite a responsibility, but I'm thrilled to be promoted to that position. And we have a fire here right now called the Junkins Fire. Yep, Junkins. And it's about 50. oh no, wait, it's been upgraded to 16,338 acres. And currently we haven't been assisting too much except for putting out bulletins every half an hour, kind of warning people. We're hoping to find all of the hunters out there because we have so many hunters that come in from this state and out of state. And hoping to help them know where the evacuations are and where to go register as they evacuate and help them out there. So anyhow, 0% contained. We do have a type 1 team that just took over today. And we're hoping to see some containment starting tomorrow and maybe get some people back home. I think there's been about 140 homes evacuated. So other than that, you guys, that's all I have. I'm just going to do some net announcements. We have 7180 for 40 meters. I haven't seen anything about 20 meters. You guys in the chat room, let me know if you're going to be doing 20 meters. 14 Charlie for D-Star and the Dewdrop In for Echo Link. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook. That's Ham Nation on Twit TV there on Facebook. Back to you, Don.
All right. Well, I think that'll probably do it for us tonight, George, unless you have anything else to say. You know, you could be watching the debate or you could be watching the Cubs beat the Dodgers. But no, you're right here with Ham Nation. And we appreciate you being there, because if you weren't there, we wouldn't be here. And we have as much fun on this side of the camera as y'all do watching us. Anyway, thanks for being here with us on Ham Nation. George, back to you.
Okay, Don. No, I have nothing in particular. I've been recording something in there. I thought it was championship wrestling, but you're right. I think it was the debate. So we'll have to go check that
out
and see how
it was. I'll wait and watch the recap on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, well.
They have the best coverage anyway.
All right. No, Don, I don't have anything else from here. Just a good show this week, and we'll be back with you next week.
There you go. Val, thanks for being here, and thanks to K6UDA for being here and putting up with my Harry's jokes and his bald head. And thanks to Dr. T, and happy birthday, Dr. T, and just an awesome job all the way around. Thanks to Bob, and thanks to Leo Laporte and the Twit Network for letting us hang out in the sandbox and throw our toys around. So with that, I guess we'll all say good night, and we'll see you all next week. So 7-3, everybody. Good night.